Our scripture reading comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 33 verses 1 to 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 33 verses 1 to 20. This is the word of the living God. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to abominations of the nations, whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places that his father Hezekiah had broken down, and he erected altars to the Baals, and made Asheroth, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he burned his sons as an offering in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and used fortune-telling and omens and sorcery, and dealt with mediums and with necromancers. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. And the carved image of the idol that he had made, he set in the house of God, of which God said to David and to Solomon, his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever, and I will no more remove the foot of Israel from the land that I appointed for your fathers, if only they will be careful to do all that I have commanded them, all the law and the statutes and the rules given through Moses. Manasseh led Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before people of Israel. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they paid no attention. Therefore the Lord brought upon them the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria, who captured Manasseh with hooks and bound him with chains of bronze and brought him to Babylon. And when he was in distress, he entered the favor of the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He prayed to him, and God was moved by his entreaty, and heard his plea, and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Afterward, he built an outer wall for the city of David, west of Gihon, in the valley, and for the entrance into the fish gate, and carried it around Ophel, and raised it to the very great heights. He also put commanders of the army in all the fortified cities in Judah, and he took away the foreign gods and the idols from the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built on the mountain of the house of the Lord, and in Jerusalem, and he threw them outside of the city. He also restored the altar of the Lord, and offered on it sacrifices of peace offering and thanksgiving. And he commanded Judah to serve the Lord, of the God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed at high places, but only to the Lord their God. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer to his God, and the words of the seers who spoke to him in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, they are in the chronicles of the kings of Israel, and his prayer, and how God was moved by his entreaty, and all his sins and his faithfulness, and the sites on which he built high places and set up the Asherim and the images before he humbled himself. Behold, they are written in the chronicles of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his house, and Amon, his son, reigned in his place. Amen. Beloved household of the Lord, We all like to hear testimonies of the people that we know of. We also would like to read the great stories of conversion. They are fascinating, such as the conversion of Paul, the apostles, or the conversion of Augustine of Hippo, or the conversion of John Newton, the slave trader. It fascinates us to see how the grace of the Lord transformed this people. These testimonies become the affirmation of the work of the living God. God is still active and at work. He still pursues his people and saves them from the most bottomless pits and the darkest corner of this fallen world. Sometimes the limit of his mercy and grace go beyond our comprehension. We cannot understand how God can forgive and hear prayer of such a person. We simply astonish by the loftiness of the grace of God. Today, we will look into one of the most remarkable testimonies that is recorded for us in the scripture, the life of Manasseh. The life of Manasseh represents us the grim truth of our sinfulness and how far we can go further in sinning. However, it also represents the bright light of the grace of God and the loftiness of his mercy. We are going to look to our text with these two points: the darkness of our sins and the light of the grace of God. The darkness of our sins and the light of the grace of God. King Manasseh was only 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 55 years, as we read in the beginning of the chapter. This made him the longest ruling king in the southern kingdom. As you might remember, God had divided the kingdom into two after the death of Solomon. The northern kingdom, which was called Kingdom of Israel, and the southern kingdom, which was called Kingdom of Judah. Manasseh shared the first 3 years of his reign with his father, Hezekiah. Hezekiah did what was the right in the eyes of the Lord. He cleansed the temple and he restored it. He made many religious reforms and he observed the Sabbath, not just with people of Judah, but all people in Israel. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 26 says this about Hezekiah. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. So Hezekiah was an exceptional king. He was determined what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Although Manasseh was son of this godly king, he didn't follow the footsteps of his father. He instead rebelled against God. This is something we can only explain with the human nature, fallen human natures, brothers and sisters. How can a person still go after idols created by his own hands after witnessing the living power of God? How can a person rebel against God after witnessing the work of his hands? We see the same behavior repeatedly in the Bible. The people witness the great deeds of God, but they turn away from him. And they behave that they never seen him or heard the great work of God. Brothers and sisters, if you cannot understand how a person behaves like Manasseh or Israel, you might not be understanding the seriousness of our fallen nature. Unless God intervenes, we are not capable of understanding anything about God and accept his greatness. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. As you can see, the condition of our spiritual situation is worse than we actually acknowledge. We think we are capable of doing something or capable of choosing God, but the truth of the scripture tells us opposite. The life of Manasseh should be a warning to all parents as well. You might have been living a godly life. You might have been doing the right things in the eyes of the Lord. But the only thing you cannot do to save your children. However, you should never give up raising your children according to precepts of the Lord. Our Lord is gracious. Do what you're supposed to do and trust to the Lord for the rest. Scripture says in verse 9, Manasseh led Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. Manasseh made God angry than he had ever been before. The biggest reason for the blazing anger of the Lord was the desecration of the temple, because Manasseh put a graven image of Asherah in the temple. Asherah was the fertility goddess of Canaanites, and this made the temple basically a brothel in the honor of Asherah. On top of this, Manasseh worshipped the other gods, the Canaanite as well. Verse 5 says, he builds altars for all the host of heaven in the courts of the house of the Lord. Manasseh didn't stop here. He did all sorts of evil. Until you might even be asking, like, how a person of Manasseh could do to provoke the anger of the Lord. You might be asking yourself what Manasseh more could do to provoke the anger of the Lord. But sadly, there is more. Let us read 2 Kings 21 and 16. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides the sin that he made Judah sin, so that they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Manasseh went astray, and he took everybody that he could take with him. He did great evil in the eyes of the Lord. The reign of Manasseh reminds us the time of Noah. People had gone astray completely and rebelled against God. Yet, God showed them mercy and gave them almost 100 years to repent. But they did not return from their evil ways. God again shows his mercy and to his people and Manasseh. He warns them and says in verse 10, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. God gave Manasseh and his people 22 years to repent. God waited them patiently, but they paid no attention. These people lost the fear of the Lord. These people, even they witnessed the greatness of the Lord. When the king of Assyria besieged Jerusalem, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 people in the camp of Assyrian. They've seen this. They've seen this miracle. How the angel of the Lord struck down these Assyrians during the time of Hezekiah. This people, the same people, celebrated the Passover in joy and made the covenant before the Lord. The Holy One Israel stayed faithful to them even though everyone wronged him. But how? Why? could God stay faithful? Because he swore to keep his promises. And what was the main promise? What God's promise to them? Why God was faithful? The Lord says in Psalm 132, "For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one." The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. "One of the sons of your body I will set on the throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne." God was simply faithful because of the sake of Jesus Christ. God doesn't need any person to accomplish his plan, brothers and sisters. God uses anyone to accomplish his plan. God used Manasseh even he was evil. Brothers and sisters, our God has always been faithful to his promise. No one can either delay it or ruin the plans of God. God does not take any counsel or from man or dependent on any man. The Lord Almighty, who has all the power, understanding, and wisdom, is enthroned between the cherubims. No one can accuse God of injustice. Our God is just in his all works. God doesn't need anyone to accomplish his plan. Our only hope of our salvation is the Lord himself. There is no salvation in man. As we read today, and we look into more shortly, even if you are sinful as Manasseh, the blood of Christ has the power to cleanse you. And even if you live in darkness as Manasseh, the blood of Christ Jesus has the power to bring you into the light. If God was merciful to Manasseh, one of the evilest persons ever lived, God can surely show mercy to you as well. If God was merciful to Israelites who forsook the Lord and worshiped the idols, God can surely forgive your sins. Do you remember who went to heaven together with the Lord when our Savior died on the cross? One of the criminals. The blood of our Savior was enough to cleanse all the sins of a criminal on the cross just before he died. Beloved household of the Lord, don't sink into despair, even if you feel there is no turning back for you. It is never too late for you. I repeat that. It is never too late for you. There is always hope in the name of Jesus. There is no sin in the world that's strong enough to separate you from your Savior. Nothing but nothing can separate you from his everlasting love. So, humble your heart, confess your sins, and return from your evil ways today. The light of the grace of God begins to shine bright in verse 11. We realize that God has the ultimate control over the nation, not just over Israel. God uses anyone to fulfill his plans. God mobilizes the kingdom of Assyria. Why? Because to discipline his covenant people. Manasseh and Israel do not return from their rebellion. However, God remains faithful to his covenant. As parents don't disown their kids because of their wrongdoings, God doesn't disown his people from the covenant. As we read in Hebrews 12, "We have earthly fathers who have disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seems the best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all the discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God disciplines his people when they are stubborn in sin. And as we read in Hebrews 12, the discipline of the Lord produced the fruit of righteousness. If we go back to our chapter, chapter 33, verse 12 says, "And when he was in distress, he entreated the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his father." This verse catches us off guard. How can Manasseh return his evil ways? He should be even more rebellious against God, because the Lord caused him to be taken as a captive, like an animal, a hook on his nose. He was dragged all the way to Babylon like an animal. Yesterday he was a king, and today he is no different from a slave. How could all of this possibly steer him to repent? The result should have been the opposite. But he remembers the promise of God to Solomon in the beginning of the book. "If my people who are called by name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." He embraces this promise and humble himself before the Lord. One commentator says, "He prayed to him for the pardons of sin and the return of his favor. Prayer is the relief of penitence and the relief of afflicted." And do you realize how ready God is to accept this returning sinner? Do you realize that? God pours his mercy upon Manasseh as soon as he repents. God is like the father in the parable of prodigal son. Manasseh says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." What a wonderful father we have. God restores Manasseh and brings him back from the exile. Manasseh becomes the king of Judah again. He returns from the exile with a changed heart because he found forgiveness. And he is determined to live according to law anymore. As we read verses 14 through 20, we see that the repentance of Manasseh was genuine because he returns from his evil ways. As we are reminded from pulpit time to time, repentance is not just feeling for yourself, sorry for yourself, or not just emotional situation. Repentance is an action. When you repent, you declare that you will not return to the sin that you just committed. This is what we see in Manasseh's life. He doesn't return to his old evil ways. Brothers and sisters, you do not need to be taken as a hostage and sent to exile, because someone was sent to exile and taken as a hostage instead of you. You don't have to be humiliated, spitted on your face, and bound with chain because someone was humiliated, suffered, and bound with chains instead of you. Our Savior Jesus Christ came down to this world to save sinners like me and like you and like Manessa. Jesus Christ was innocent, but he endured all of this for his people. But why did he do it? Why he suffered? Because he loves his people. He loves his covenant people. He loves people belong to him. As it is written, in this love, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. 1 John chapter 4. God is faithful and loves his people. There is nothing that God cannot do for you, for his people, which he has already proven that by sending his only begotten Son, our Lord, to die for our sin. What can he do more for us? His steadfast love never ceases and he never forgets his promises. Brothers and sisters, we should respond to this wonderful Father by fulfilling his will and living according to the gospel. Of course, we will not be perfect. We will struggle, but at least we must aim for that because God wants us to be more like him, like his Son, Christ Jesus. Not because we will earn our salvation, not because we will add anything to our salvation, but because God is holy and he is worthy. And he is worthy indeed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord of heavens and earth, you regard the lowly but haughty you know from afar. May your Holy Spirit imply your words into our hearts and help us to humble before your holy throne. Amen.